every single one, 100%. Not one of them would be deemed conservative. Every single one of them said unanimously, the consensus, you got to pay tax on what they're doing. You're an agent. You have to pay tax. That's all we're saying. We follow the cash flows to this whole living ecosystem that we're watching on TV every day, because Larry and I actually have the program with the uniforms and the numbers. We know all these guys because we've been working on it for the last 5 years. We just didn't know they were going to show up on the TV with a coronavirus. but the bottom line is, the folks that reviewed this in consensus form, brilliant tax attorneys, every single one of them, says you got to pay tax. The implication of that is anybody who was participatory in these activities that knew what was going on, who donated to the foundation, now runs the risk that if they knew what they were doing with the money, they too will have a tax consequence. Those who are unknown, less intimately involved, likely would not have a tax event. But those involved, i.e. a Bill Gates or anybody at that level who are intimately involved, there's a multiplier here, right? You now can't take those donated monies as a tax deduction. You're now going to pay tax on all that, because you're going to have to restate the $200, $300, $400 million all these people were given on your returns, and you got to pay tax. Because in a tax fraud, there's no statute of limitations in fraud.
So you're looking at like a 40% clawback or something like that, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah. And the Gates Foundation. Go ahead. Wait,
pay taxes. We all have to pay. If you're going to give away $1.9 trillion a year, then no tax. And that's obviously the legislature who does that, the Congress. Then just follow the rules. All we're saying is follow the rules. And what went on here doesn't fit in those rules. It's just that simple. We're not saying anything bad about anybody, Mike. We're saying what you did is our taxable events. They're not illegal. They're taxable events. So just pay your tax.
Yeah. I mean, it's IRS code 170C2. 170C2. I mean, acting as an agent. I mean, somebody acting as an agent of a foreign government or a foreign corporation is supposed to register under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. But if you're acting as an agent, that is categorically not a tax-exempt activity. So, you know, the Clinton Foundation, which has the, you know, top-line revenue of $3 billion, okay, you know, even if we were generous in stating, okay, well, we'll grant you, you know, some significant level of, you know, approval with meaningful amounts of your expenses, they're still likely going to face, you know, well, whatever. I don't want to get into conjecture, but they would be facing, you know, a multiple $100 million tax bill. The Gates Foundation has donated $370 million to the Clintons. So if you want to throw 40% on that, they're facing, you know, $140 million. This is real money, but there's clear abuse. There is clear. This is not like, well, you know, maybe. No. This is so overwhelming, and it's consistent. You know, the foundation officials told us their own internal reviews. I mean, the Simpson-Thatcher even stated that the Clinton Foundation board was not even involved with some of their major program initiatives. They're just doing this, you know, without. So that's why we said that they've run this like a closely held family partnership for their own benefit. She was never going to lose, right? And nobody was ever going to know.
Well, Mike, if we asked you, how many of these nonprofits do you think exist in the country right now? IRS-approved nonprofits. What do you think, Mike? How many of you think your readers think exist out there?
Well, I just want to interject one thing in that. I'm more interested in how many grifters saw that the Clintons were getting away with this, and the word got out on the street in the circles of the rich and famous. Hey, you got to get your own foundation. You can rip the shit out of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And so I look at maybe like the Clinton Foundation as the granddaddy, and all these people in the network said, hey, we got to get our own foundation. These guys are getting away with murder. But
on that point, Mike,
yeah,
I actually don't know that the Clinton Foundation is the granddaddy. They're one of them with a big ecosystem attached to them. There are over 1,800,000 of these that have been approved in the last 20 years in this country.
That's insane.
Okay? 1,800,000.
That's a 250% increase. 250% increase.
Who in the name of God is going to oversee that? How is it even possible to monitor that? It's not. So we see our ecosystem and how they all know each other and the ball fed off of each other, and it's alive and living, and now we have contact tracing and all of this, the $2.5 trillion, all that. We have no idea of that 1.8 million of these. How many more ecosystems exist? Could be in pharmaceuticals, could be in, you know, manufacturing and automobiles. We have no idea. I mean, we have no idea. We are locked onto this one. But the bigger question is, when you have $1.9 trillion flowing through this, and this country is broke, people are rioting in the streets, the place is imploding, and all of these guys don't have to pay anything?
That's where I think of, you know, if you ever have to bring an exterminator into your house, does the guy come out of the basement or the crawl space or whatever and say that he just found just one mouse? Of course not. There's always more than one, you know. And so that sort of growth in that space, to me, I referenced this at that congressional hearing. It looks like the explosion of the subprime mortgage market that just exploded. Everybody's got to get involved in it because, again, a lack of, you know, meaningful regulatory oversight. And what happens? Bad practices and abuse, waste, fraud, abuse, corruption, because, you know, who's minding the store? Michael, also, your listeners probably be interested. There are approximately 330,000 donors to the Clinton Foundation. But we made a point at the hearing that it's approximately 0.1%. So, you know, about 3,000 donors represents north of 80% of the money. So this is really, it's very concentrated in terms of where the real money, and when you look at it, actually a third of the Clinton Foundation revenues, and we should say that have been reported, because we don't know. We don't know if there's, you know, money that hasn't been reported, but a third of what has been reported comes from Unitaid and the Gates Foundation. Unitaid, $700 million. The Gates Foundation, $370 million. So there's, you know, $1.07 billion right there between two donors. You know what, Bill Gates, get his checkbook out, and he's going to have to write a check to the American taxpayers for, you know, $100+ million.
Well, real quick, just to circle back, because it's something that stuck out in my head. We're talking about partners in health. Didn't they get money from USAID and the Global Fund and Unitaid when Clinton was Secretary of State?
Oh, yes. All the money, you know, coming and going, and yes. They all receive money from USAID and the Global Fund.
Was that when Hillary was Secretary of State?
That made the board.
And what's interesting, who became the primary recipient of Global Fund money in the government of Haiti shortly after the earthquake? Population Services International. They changed the primary recipient of funds from the Global Fund going into Haiti from a local entity and in comes Population Services International. The CEO of that company formerly was in the Clinton administration on the Council of Economic Advisors, and the chair of the board of Population Services International for an extended period until, you know, early last year, was the head of USAID during the Clinton during the Clinton administration. So again, you know, it's all the same players, all the same roles. Who was the head of USAID while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State? A fellow who went there from the Gates Foundation. It's their club. We ain't in it. But you know what? It's our money, and we want it back. And that's and we're bound and determined, and we're fighting for the American taxpayers.
Let me throw this in here real quick, because I think it's important. All these entities we're talking about, they've all been targets of criminal investigations as far as how it relates to this Clinton Foundation, okay? I know that the FBI looked at this. I know that other folks looked at this, other federal agents beside the FBI, right? So anything we're mentioning, they've already been looked at. And I know John talks about this being a tax case, and Larry, you talk about it too, being a tax case, straight up tax case. The problem is, for the feds, you can't look at this case and have documentation out there and exhibits and things like this that I would imagine are part of your case. I mean, I'm just going from history and from what I've heard from folks on the federal side. And it doesn't lay out a massive roadmap of fraud, criminality, and cartel-like behavior. So that's why it's under seal. And that's why they want to keep it under seal. And I'm curious to see where the hell this goes. Because you don't often hear from somebody in the DOJ when they say this is a nuclear bomb, they want to keep it under wraps. To me, that means exactly that. They want to keep it under wraps. I mean, I don't know if your stuff is ever going to see the light of day.
Well, the thought that goes through my mind, and then I'll let Whitey comment, I think the American public, they're less concerned with, you know, some of the agencies. I think they're primarily concerned with their tax dollars and the rule of law and people who would abuse the rule of law for their own personal benefit. American, and this is the ultimate bipartisan. This isn't right versus left. This is right versus wrong, and people are beyond fed up. I mean, pissed off doesn't even begin to define. And as John and I have stated, you know, many times, we've got the goods and we're going to the mat. And we're playing to win for the American taxpayers. And that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, we're not, you know, everybody has their own form of protest, people in the streets, people doing this, people doing that. We're silent. We don't rant and rave. We don't have pictures and all of this stuff. We're focused on the facts. And the facts are, if you're a conservative legislator and you're not for high taxation and reconciled budgets, well, you need to take a look at how the money that you've appropriated to USAID and all that's being spent. And if you're more on the liberal side of the house and, you know, you want more taxation, well, it isn't happening here. It's $1.9 trillion that's not being taxed. So when Harvard University has a $40 billion endowment, they don't pay tax. When they ask for $600-800 million a year in grants, they don't pay tax. When they ask for federal financial aid for their students, they don't pay tax. When donors give them money, right, they don't pay tax. And they don't pay tax on their real estate. Every single college in this country is a for-profit entity, even though they're tax exempt. Every college president will tell you, if we don't turn a profit, we're going out of business. This is what's going on. This is why we're broke. And it's going to continue to happen. So Larry and I don't march in the streets. We're trying to win in the courthouse. That's our job. And we're in the U.S. tax court right now on appeal to the IRS ruling. It's sealed. We'll let the judge in that case make his decision. And whatever he decides, we will respect that, and then we'll move accordingly. But we're not stopping. I want everybody to know that's not happening. We're not beholden to anybody but ourselves and to U.S. taxpayers. We will fund this thing and keep going. We're not stopping. That's how we are reacting to what's happening.
That's right. And, Michael, I would like to interject. A few months ago, we actually did launch, I mean, because again, we're private guys. But a few months ago, you know, throughout 2019, we have that hearing in late 2018. And it's like, you know, throughout 2019, where are those guys? You know, what happened to those guys? We actually, I mean, some people are like, oh, did they get Arkansas-ed? Did they get whacked? And like, you know, we're pretty even keel guys. We're not nervous. I mean, some people, you know, when we referenced that we went to Holy Cross, oh, these guys got to be affiliated with the Vatican. And, like, you know, where did people get these ideas? We're just, you know, private guys that like to win. But we did launch a Twitter account. And people who want to follow, you know, different tweets that we put out.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
Our Twitter handle is at LWDoyleUSA. And obviously, as John has mentioned, and we want to reiterate, our case is under seal. We're not going to do anything to jeopardize that. But there is stuff that we can share, and we welcome sharing. And basically, really, just to let the public know, you know, we're fighting for them. And because, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, they get up and it's like, okay, you know, who the hell's fighting for us? And, you know, how is it that, you know, Barack Obama leaves Washington. First thing he does, Obama Foundation. Paul Ryan leaves Washington. What does he do? Start a foundation. Joe Biden leaves office. What? Start the Biden Foundation. I mean, enough is enough.
Well, I mean, you guys have tripped. You guys are on, like you said, you're on a main vein here with these people. But, you know, one of the thoughts I had during this conversation when I said, Clinton Foundation was the granddaddy. I'm looking at Harvard. I mean, maybe Harvard is the blueprint here, you know, because they have a lot of dough. And
you know, I think there's a lot of blueprints. I think there's different industries. There may be the educational industry. There may be the pharmaceutical, which is what the Clinton Foundation thing is about. You jump from HIV to now coronavirus. I mean, let's be honest. People get burnt out with what's happening. You can only keep asking people for money so often for a particular cause. And I go like, oh, come on, stop it, enough. Now you need something new. We just see what's going on now as to something new. We see what went on in our Clinton Foundation case as a prediction model, really. And why do I say that? Because everybody called us. Before the 2.5 trillion got announced, they said, hey, what do you guys think? You had so many people from agencies and around the globe, foreign countries. What do you guys think? We said, well, we're seeing all the same actors. The next act is going to be a massive fund. 3 weeks later, it happened. Everybody calls us back and says, what are the Powerball numbers? I said, I'd love to know the Powerball numbers.
Exactly.
I don't know what the hell the Powerball number is, but I'll tell you what that number is. That number is brilliant. Why? Because they need something new. You need something new. And that's exactly what's happened. So we'll be vigilant in our case. We're going to listen. We're going to wait for the judge. We hope the judge makes a ruling soon. And whatever he rules, we'll react accordingly.
Yeah, and one other comment, Michael. When we looked, okay, this virus starts hitting the states and whatever it was, late January into February. And in around April 1, we looked like, okay, what are the countries, and what are there, 190, 195 countries, 200 countries in the world, something like that?
Yeah, I was going to ask you this. I know exactly where you're going, because this went through my head, too, and I've talked about it before, and people think I'm fucking crazy. But I'm like, I'm not crazy, because I put the time in to look at the map and
we're going the same place here.
So go
we
ahead.
We looked at the top 20.
Yeah.
The top 20 countries that get hit with the virus, right? And there's an 80% correlation with the funders of the Global Fund. So you got 195 countries in the world. Okay, you look at the top 20. You know, you're talking Italy and obviously the United States and all these, largely European countries.
Talking about white. These are white countries.
These are the countries that fund the Global Fund.
Right.
And this is where we, Whitey and I looking at that like, wow, how about that, huh? And what happens 3 weeks? So we're like, okay, they're going for another Global Fund. And 3 weeks later, there's Gates and his folks from World Health and UN. Hey, we need $2.5 trillion. How convenient.
Well, the scheme would be, correct me if I'm wrong, this is just my head where I come from. The scheme would be, we need to raise money now so that this doesn't spread into areas that aren't as wealthy. It doesn't spread into the Africa. It doesn't spread into other places where kids can be affected. That's why we need to raise this money and to try to stop the next wave of coronavirus. Wouldn't that be part of the scheme?
That's the storyline, to which my response would be, okay, let's dial it back. Let's go back to 2004, 2005, 2006, when some of your primary providers of medication for HIV, Ranbaxy and Gilead, were distributing adulterated medicines. And what happens? What's the effect when you distribute over a number of years adulterated meds?